Welcome back to another episode of the Reseller's Mindset Podcast. My name is Mike, also known as a used book guy on YouTube, along with my friend and fellow full-time reseller, Johnny B. We help people start and grow their reselling businesses from the ground up. We also have a weekly Zoom call and private Discord for all YouTube members. Head on over to youtube.com/usedbookguy to join the channel and gain access to the full-length podcast, Zoom call, and private Discord today. Let's get into this week's episode.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into another episode of Reseller's Mindset Podcast. Mike next to Johnny today. Johnny does not know the topic. And full warning here, I already have him all riled up before the call here. I had a hold in my laughter saying the intro today. And Johnny, today's topic, I'm going to go first. Because you don't even know the topic. You can't even go first.
I don't even know.
This is the end of reselling. And I'm saying this in a direct, serious type manner. When I think about it overall, reselling is not what it used to be. It's not even close to what it used to be. I started before the world went crazy. So I guess I kind of a little bit of a realistic look at reselling, and then the world went crazy and reselling went to the moon, right? Like everybody was doing it. Everybody was making money. And I think it has changed so much in the past 4 years that the argument that the end of reselling is here, I think it's more accurate than it's not if you just look at the average person that comes in and wants to start reselling, because we got two major platforms, Amazon, eBay. Amazon, it's a race to the bottom. They don't care about the little guy at all, right? You're just somebody that makes Amazon fee money. Amazon likes the lowest price for the customer, so any item you buy is usually going to go down in price before it sells. eBay, I think eBay's got a whole different set of problems with. Anybody can resell on the platform. There's no standards. And I even have a story that I can relate to, that I bought something off eBay recently, and it sat there for 3 weeks, and I have to message a seller, and I get told, oh, it fell underneath my car seat in the car. I think that is a huge problem that reselling has as well. So I think it's not, you know, it does fall on the sellers, but I do think the overall business model from the platforms to the sellers, to the standards, to the requirements, to the headaches, I do think it kind of has us in a direction where reselling is all but on its way out the door. What's your opinion here?
I think it is harder than it's ever been to jump into either platform or both platforms. The fees are higher than they ever been. Even the stamps higher than it's ever been. Because it used to be on eBay and even Amazon, you can make money off the stamp. At least you get your cost of goods back, maybe, which is cool. You still get a little bit on eBay. Started taking a little cut in that. You still get a little bit on eBay, and I think you get the full cut still on Amazon if you're a merchant person. But the sell through a merchant's way lower than FBA. So, do I think it's dying and or on the way to being dead? I think no, but I think you need to be settled with you're going to get slimmer and slimmer and slimmer margins. And in order to compensate that year over year, you're going to have to do more year over year, meaning you source more, you send in more items, or you send in less items just with a higher ASP, but that in turn, your time spent sourcing instead of processing. I love to process. I hate to source. So the thought of me having to source all day disgusts me. Online arbitrage, that's even slimmer margins, right? So how often are you doing that? I mean, even if you're VAing it, even if you're prep centering it, you still have to do those people and those automations have to work even harder to produce the same amount of results, but we can't sell for the same amount of results year over year because cost of living outside of our business goes up. So we have to do more even in those spectrums. So I think at some point, 10% or 5% margin, if you're doing used goods, is going to be the norm. And either you're good with that or you're not good with that.
And it gets me to the point of at what point is it just not even feasible for somebody for this to be on the radar, right? Like, I joke around all the time, like, oh, I'm going to start a hot dog stand. But, like, that's not feasible. So, like, at what point does reselling hit that same plateau where, yes, reselling's a thing, but nobody in their right mind would ever try it? Because what you just said is basically a little person kind of gets squeezed out of this because you have to put more time in. You have to treat it more like a professionally run business. We talk about that all the time, treating it like an actual business. So the hobbyists, the part-timers, and I do think, the part-timers already get shafted if you look at the eBay algorithm and they want you to be active on their site listing items. And Amazon has the buy box, and you have to send items consistently to remain buy box eligible. I think we're already working, and I don't blame the platforms for doing this. I know a lot of part-timers listen to this podcast, but think about it in the aspect of you are the CEO of eBay or Amazon. How many headaches come from the little person that does $10,000 a year versus the person that's doing $10 million a year? It's astronomically different. So this idea that they want to squeeze out the little guy, I think it's justified. I really do. And as much as it hates me to say it, I think that's where the reselling is going to die. It's with the part-timers, hobbyists that are trying to make the extra $1,000 to $5,000 a month and aren't super consistent with the business. I think those people are going to be the ones that wind up kind of falling off the the ledge first.
Absolutely. Unless the only way it works for those people is you, if you have a SKU or an item that you make, or you're the only seller of, is the only way it's going to work for hobbyists and part-timers, in my opinion, down the road. So either you're like an Etsy type person making your own thing, cool, or you find something that nobody's aware of that you have access to, and you're the only distributor of it for the short run. Because once people start buying it, then they could resell it, right? And we're fixing to see a big battle royale even in Amazon, because they're merging the Renewed program and the used sellers into one listing. And what's unknown right now, are there now going to be three buy boxes, or are there going to be one?
Gonna be
If it's
one.
one, that's scary business for those Renewed and used sellers, because that's a what was low competition for the Renewed guys is now a saturated competition. And same coming in if you're just the used seller, right? It's like, man, I don't want more people on the listing. It's hard to, it's cutthroat as it is. So if it is three buy boxes, let's just confuse the customer even more. I don't know what's going to happen there on the buying end as far as the customer goes. Like, what are they going to be looking at? And can they understand it? I don't know.
What Amazon will do, they'll just keep the Renewed and do away with everybody else, rightfully so, because it's literally what we just said. There's way less people in that program, and those people are big players in the game. They're not just me or you going to a pawn shop, buying video games and sending them in. I guarantee you, if Amazon has to make a choice, that's exactly how it's going to play out. And I think the problem with eBay is the content out there, what you said, like doing something nobody else is doing. There's so much content out there. All basically 99% of the Bolo brands are out there, right? There's huge channels that just literally have Bolo videos of hundreds and hundreds of items, and the market becomes saturated and things happen and there's people are listing more of it. And with eBay, I think the big problem with eBay is there's no structure to the listing process or the customer service process. You kind of can just do what you want. And it's great for people that do it right. But the percentage of people that do things and operate an eBay business seriously, like a professional business versus those that don't, the big time players suffer from this because it only takes a few bad interactions, like I had with the person that lost it under their seat for 3 weeks. And I got to message them. Your typical buyer ain't going to play these types of games. Me as an eBay reseller for years, I understand things happen, right? But some lady that just goes through Google, winds up on eBay, buys it, and never shows up for 2 or 3 weeks, that's the problem with that platform. And it's to blame eBay because there is no standards, and it's blame the sellers because they don't have no standards for themselves or their business. And with Amazon, the pricing, man, I agree with you. It's not going to get easier. And I do think the serious big time players are going to survive this, which is a small percentage of resellers if we think about it. And I think all the little guys and gals out there who just want to make a few extra bucks, it's going to get as hardest as it's ever been. People think it's bad now. The platforms just they don't have the capabilities to handle the mass majority of little sellers that have little problems, little questions that we can't take the time to investigate ourselves. So you can't blame eBay for not having a 24/7 call line that you could just call and you get somebody, and everybody complains, oh, I never get to speak to an American. Well, guess what? How many of you people are calling because somebody left you a neutral feedback and said, you look like Shrek? Well, you know what? They don't have time to deal with this shit. They have businesses to run, and you got to start getting serious about it. I don't know, man. It's tough for me because I get the results I get, right? And I see, but I also treat it differently than a lot of other people, right? I don't spend a lot of time in my business, but the time I do, every move's calculated, right? Every damn thing me and you do, it's calculated on the back end.
Yeah.
Time, money. How much time are we spending? How much money are we getting out of it? Can we do this again? Is it repeatable? Is it going to grow our business? But that's not the case.
I will give the positive out of all of this. I think online reselling is gonna knock out the little guy, the part-timer, the hobbyist people. However, I think those people are going to still sell, just not online. We're going to see a big jump in antique booth malls. We're going to see a big bump in flea markets where they're selling their goods to people like us that if we start to figure out how to maintain the game, stay in the game essentially. So our sourcing things we don't do anymore because we consider it bottom rung. I think there's going to be a premium opportunity there once we reach that critical mass point because they're still going to, okay, I have my stuff. I'm no longer going to do Amazon, eBay. I'm going to take it to my flea market. I'm going to take it to my showcase at my antique mall. And that stuff's going to be gold for people like us because even the thrift stores, the chains, the Goodwills, they're raising their prices. So people are going to source higher, I think, at these currently mid-tier to low-tier sourcing places more because more the quality is going to go up in those areas. This is speculation, in my opinion, but I could see it going that way, at least for a short minute.
I agree because I don't want to get into the whole idea of eBay is eBay. I don't list often, maybe once a week for the past month. But every single item I listed once a week, they all have sold. So if I tell you I just list one item a week and every single one of those items sells every single week within the week, it kind of debunks everything you're saying. But that comes with quality, not quantity. And I think a lot of people get caught up with this idea of you can just go buy anything and sell it on eBay. I mean, you talk about it all the time. Them days are long gone. And for some reason we hang on to this idea of eBay just being that, and it's not that, and we can't get past the initial. And I do think another reason, to the social media YouTube community, I mean, we have to take some blame in this because a lot of us started our channels, well over 4 years ago, before the world went crazy. And like, we've all come a long way and we all grown our businesses to a point where it does appeal to somebody that's brand new to it. And you're like, wow, look what this person's doing, or look what this how much money this person's making. And you don't realize that it's years and years of processes and refining things and relationships to get to that point. So I do think we are to blame as well in a way, shape, and form, because a lot of the big YouTubers out there have been doing this for a long time. And compared to where they were, now they're in a much better place financially, mentally. They have the bells and whistles. They had the real estate property. They have the huge warehouses. And the idea that you can start reselling today and be the warehouse person in 3 months is just completely unrealistic.
Absolutely. And a third avenue, I think we're going to see pop up when it reaches that critical mass point. I forgot about it. So I can't really say they're going to go strictly offline. I think a lot of them will also try to have their own website.
That is the biggest mistake.
That's going to be a mistake. That is.
That
But
is.
I'm going to see it happen. We all are going to see that happen. They're going to do the website. They're going to do the farmers market, the antique and flea market thing. We're going to see a boom in those three places. I predicting.
I'm going to give you a real life equivalent of having a website that these people would do. You opening a website today, JohnnyB'sGoods.com, whatever it is, right? That is the equivalent to you just having, not even having your door open, just having a little business card size sign on your door that says, I sell things inside.
And people down the road are driving 60 miles an hour and will never see it.
There you go. He finished the analogy. People think, I'll just get my own website. The fees are next to nothing. There is so much marketing ad spend that has to go in for you to even get it seen, a click, not even guaranteed someone's going to buy something. But I do agree because I have seen that popping up more and more. Like, just do your own website, or we'll
There's
start
less
our
fees, yeah, but when nobody's buying, the fees don't matter.
we'll start our own reselling website. That's a thing I've been seeing too. Like, it's not that simple. It sounds glorious. Me and Johnny can sit here and go on and on about the reselling marketplace we're going to create, but it means absolutely nothing on the back end. It takes hundreds of thousands of dollars to do something like that. So it's don't ever just go to your flea market. You're way better
You'd be
off just
better
trying.
off and you'll spend less money.
Yeah, or just do a yard sale and put it on,
Oh, yard sale. Yeah, there you go. You're like your weekly yard sale. See
Something like
that?
that. I mean, it's brutal out there right now. A lot of small people are hurting. Sales are down. They're not getting the sales they used to. But with anything, you got to understand the market we're in, right? There's always outside factors. That's why everybody thought reselling was great 2020 through 2022, because everybody had the free money. Everybody, was getting the checks from the government, the unemployment because they couldn't go to work. Of course, things are going to be great, dude. Now, like, time, this is it. This is really reselling right now. Like, this is real time reselling. This is what reselling really is before the anomaly that we went through. That wasn't reselling. That was just you go outside and you just, go in your yard and pan for gold, and you're going to pull gold every single time. That was the furthest thing from the reality. But that's when reselling took off. So the majority of people that started then think that, well, if we're not doing what it was back then, hey, what's going on here? Like, this is the end of times. It is the end of times for you, not for me, right? Like, call the ambulance for you, not for me.
So we've given all the red flags and flashing lights we know how to give. So I'm going to try to shift the conversation if Mike allows me to. How do you stay in the game? What would enable you to not go sell at the flea market or go work at Uber for your spare cash? And especially if you're a part-timer person, like what do you need to do today to prepare for tomorrow kind of deal? And I hope Mike finally gets my ant and grasshopper analogy that I said many moons ago, but I think he does now. So, Mike, what would you do if you were a part-time and you do put in part-time
I'm
hours? How are you going
part-time,
to stay in the
dude. Yeah,
game?
yeah.
How are you going to stay in the game, Mike?
You have to be smarter. Every single aspect of your business. Sourcing, listing, pricing, maintaining that inventory that isn't selling, basically keeping up with it. You do a much better job than me at going in and manually repricing. And I have realized over the past 2 months that manual repricing on Amazon is like, it's worth its weight in gold. Like, you spend one day a week and go in and manually reprice it. I think, we have our mastermind call once a month, and for me doing the numbers I do, I'm like, we had Rob. He's like, yeah, I did $20,000. I work a full-time job, and the big change he did was he upgraded his quality of goods and the quantity he was getting. So we talked about reaching out to, companies directly, and that's what he did. And he went from being thrift store guy to the estate sale guy. And his quality of goods went up, and boom, he shot through the roof. Like, yeah, he was doing good numbers before, but I mean, anybody out there that's listening to this, you tell them you do $20,000 in sales part time in addition to a full time job. It sounds so scammy, but like that, he's the person that's going to survive. Like, if there's a definition of a part timer, like that's it. And that's how I have to be. That's how you have to be, even as a full timer. You don't get complacent, right? You don't just sit there. And you don't just do the same things, the same things. You always have to be bettering yourself. And with that is your business, because this is the money me and Johnny live off of. So bettering ourselves, our businesses included. And me and Johnny talk all the damn time about different things we're trying, what's working, what's not working. You have to be in that mindset and get around people, even if it's one other person that's in the same line of business of you that maybe is getting better results or is working a little bit harder than you. To kind of see, all right, well, what makes sense? What is this person doing that I'm not doing? I think those people, you can't just be this person that's like, well, I did it this way and I'm never going to change how I do things. You have to adapt today more than ever. I don't think your business should look the same, season to season. You should always be doing something different.
So I'm going to mention this as well because some of our listeners are very Well, they're just that. They just listen. They don't contribute. Here's the issue with that. And I'll address the non-contributing. There is a legitimate reason not to contribute. So if you give everything, secret sauce and all, it's no longer secret sauce, right? It's public information. And I get why you need to protect some of that, but doesn't mean you shouldn't say anything at all. There's some stuff, the secret sauce stuff, yeah, keep to yourself. I don't reveal all, ever. There's some things I will never talk about because that I need in my business not to happen. But everything else, I'm pretty open about. Even my repricing strategy, that can always be tweaked or adjusted, or if I sit down for a couple hours, I can build a better mousetrap. That I don't mind sharing. How I'm sourcing, to an extent, I will talk about that. If you are just closed off, you will never grow. You can only do so much. Other people around you help you look at things in a different perspective, and a lot of it you'll just ignore, but those few things you don't ignore will drastically increase your business revenue, profits, and the way you conduct business in general. So we all need to share information. And yeah, some things you're not going to share, I get that. But for those that just listen and aren't around like-minded people, you're going to grow slower than you want to, and you're going to get frustrated. So you need to come out into the light, contribute a little bit here and there, not everything, just a little bit, baby steps. We'll do it in baby steps. But I think that'll make you and everybody else around you better. And that's a happy place to be.
I put it all out there just so Johnny can debunk everybody else, right? Like, Johnny's the drill sergeant of the group. He's much more tough. He's much more tougher. I don't even think that's proper English, but whatever. He's much more tougher than I am with people. So when I put stuff out there, like, I just think to myself, like, well, this is another bullet in Johnny's little gunslinger, Texas holsters he has, because anytime somebody comes to him with a reason why they're not getting results, he could be like, well, it's out there. I tell you exactly how I reprice. Mike tells you exactly how to list the stuff, how to source the stuff, how to contact the companies, how to, it's an endless supply out there. So when somebody comes along and they just ask this asinine question or have this stupid excuse, Johnny just he ain't got time for it because he knows every single answer is out there. And I do think, when not putting the secret sauce out there, I can put it all out there. And I know 95% of people, probably higher than that, ain't never gonna do it. I talk about it all the time. Like, the amount of money I made on doing certain little things different than anybody else, the only people that do it are people that, I guess, never comment on the YouTube channel and should be thanking me for all the money I made them, or people over in the group, because we get crazy results from people doing this part-time just by doing things differently. And those things I talk about openly to do differently. Anybody can do it, but nobody does it.
Right, I'll give an example of this. And Mike, this isn't to hurt your feelings or make you feel bad, but I have told Mike some things that he's then made public information. And I was like, oh no, end of the world. It's not the end of the world. It is not. And I used to think like that and keep a lot of things more protected than I do. But over the years, it doesn't matter. Because again, I can build a better mousetrap if I put in the effort. It doesn't matter, guys. And I don't think anything I put out there or Mike's put out there damns either one of us. It doesn't
No.
put us out of business.
We could tell every little thing about our business today, about exactly how to get to where we got. And the majority of people won't even listen after step two. It's just the reality of it. I mean, think about it this way, Johnny. Look where you're sitting today. You are sitting in your warehouse where you sit every damn week. We have this call. We get off this call, you hop on the next weekly call we have, and then you work, right? Like, I'll be the first person to tell you, like, Sundays usually are my days off, right? So they're not really days off because we record this, we got our weekly call, I got one-on-ones, things like that. But usually in the afternoon, I'm like, all right, I'm just kick back and relax today. Well, if I want to, make a little bit more money, Johnny, then I got a bulk pickup today, and I'm not even lying about this. Like, my first bulk pickup on a Sunday in probably 3 years. You gotta want it at the end of the day. And we talked about it, having a why in your reselling business, and it doesn't have to, it doesn't always have to be some crazy story, emotional story. I just want to make a little bit more money so I can just buy a bigger house or just buy a house in cash. That's all it comes down to. I just think the little people have to get on board. And Hustle and Grow made a video a while back, and he said,
I like that guy.
You part-timers, Adam's like, you part-timers are just in the way. And I think he hit it on the head. Like, it's tough to come out and say that, especially on YouTube, like, because my audience is a lot of part-timers, right? But is it true? Probably, right? Like, a lot of people don't know that they go buy the Beanie Baby, and this Beanie Baby is actually worth $300, and you go and list it for like $50, and like you got 1,000 of these things, like you just destroy the market for that. A lot of it is just, I guess, ignorance of knowledge.
So here's the thing. I say this a lot, but I don't think people know what I mean. And I put it in the simplest forms as I can. Maybe you can do a better spin on this, Mike. Work harder. Did I say work longer? No, I said work harder. Same amount of hours, but work harder in those hours smartly. So work smarter and harder in the same time frame. This is work. I don't care if you do 1 hour a week or you do 120 hours a week. Those hours are work. So work harder. And again, emphasis, I didn't say work longer.
I got a hot take, and a lot of people might not like it, but I think it does translate to your life. And I think a lot of people try a lot of different businesses, and none of them ever take off, right? Like, every month's a different business idea. Every month is one month it's a hot dog stand. Next month it's reselling. Next month it's live selling. Next month it's this, it's that. Those, unfortunately, those people that can't, you know, it's just not going to magically happen because you change this business you have, right? It's going to take you actually taking the business seriously for anything to change. You can jump to whatever you want every single week. None of it's ever going to work out for you. That's just the reality of it. If you suck at being an entrepreneur, like, then you suck at it. And can you change? You don't always have to suck, right? Like, you can, you know, understand P&Ls, take a profit and loss. I mean, it's all out there for free. Like, you can become a better business person so fast nowadays. You don't got to go to school anymore. You don't need an MBA in business. You just got to find a few people that, you know, can talk common sense. And it's the same thing with taxes. Like, people get bent out of shape. Well, I got to pay taxes. And how much money are you really making? Well, if you understood the tax code, or hey, maybe if you don't want to understand the tax code, you find a really good tax person that loves the tax code, and you pay them money, and you save a bunch of money on taxes. And that big scary dude, it drives me nuts. I still hear from time to time people don't want to resell because, well, don't you got to pay taxes on that? What a limiting belief in life. Like, holy smokes.
So what? If you make more money, so Uncle Sam takes his little cut, but at the end of the day, you're still left with more money than you had by not? Where's the fucking logic?
I think the struggle we have, Johnny, is we're at where we're at, right? Like, we started from nothing. We built it to where it is today. We're going to continue to grow these businesses that we have. And the revolving door of reselling, it's like, you know, like them huge doors in like New York City hotels, and they just keep spinning and you got to walk through. Like, that is what reselling has become, because the fad of reselling took off. And now I think a lot of people, they get in the door and they don't even get out the other side. They just walk completely around and then leave right away, because I think that is what we're headed towards. And I do think, you know, there are benefits to it. The person that does want to take this seriously and treat it like a business, even part time, I do think it is beneficial. We talk about it, you know. We used to say, well, do we ever get to a point where there's less bozos selling on Amazon, right? Like, and we come to the conclusion that every time one leaves, there's another one showing up. So it's like, we'll never get to that point. Hopefully, one day we won't have to deal with the people selling their stuff for a loss that we have to compete with. But honestly, that day may never come. And if it does, it benefits people like me, you, and whoever's listening to this. It's like, hey, I really want this business to be something. I really want this to be an extra $1,000 a month into my bank account, my retirement, my cruise fund, whatever it may be. Those people survive. But the whiny majority crybabies you see on YouTube and social media, and these content creators that talk about it every single day, that the platform sucks, it's easy to get around those people, and we all can whine together. We all can have a wine, the reselling wine cruise, not the wine you drink. We all can just sit there and cry about how reselling sucks. It's going down, but you don't have to be aboard the cruise ship. You know, maybe we get in the helicopter that takes off right before the cruise ship hits the iceberg and everybody's got to get in the lifeboats, that you got to start thinking ahead of the curve here and just be out in front of everything and know there's still money to be made. But the majority of people you're going to see and hear talk about reselling, it's the end of times, and rightfully so. If you're selling trash, you're listing trash, you don't know, understand your business, you got trash business sense, then unfortunately, you're going to wind up in the landfill with all the other resellers. And I hate to say it, it benefits people like me and Johnny who treat this like an actual business and understand that at the end of the day, our income is our business, which is reselling. So we got to take it seriously, because if not, me and Johnny got to move in together underneath the underpass somewhere in Texas.
I want bunk beds if that's happening. Anyway, and here's another hot take for you. If you like the trash or accumulate trash because you're trying to do bulk and you're doing these buyouts, put it on Marketplace and store it in your garage for eternity. Don't even bother with eBay listings or your Instagram. I think Instagram is the other one that has a store you could do. Put it there. But I think you're better off just tossing it and messing with the stuff that's actually worth money. But if you are convinced to monetize it and you don't want to build your own website, you don't want to go to the flea market, you don't want to do an antique booth, fine. Do Facebook or Instagram, be done with it. One post, move on. And when it gets to the point where your garage or whatever's full, take that shit to the dump. Yeah, literally. And then start again. You've tried to monetize the trash, it didn't work, didn't sell. Literally take it to the dump and be done with it. Or donate it, I guess. Make it somebody else's problem. But again, stop messing with the junk. Figure out a way to monetize the junk. Sure, I'm all about that. I have my own brick and mortar store that's all junk, though I just rescanned it and I pull it out a lot of not junk because it came back in season or popularity, whatever. I'm talking in Amazon terms. You guys got to work. Again, you got to work harder. And again, I don't mean long hours. But the hard work means smarter, not doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result, because that's the definition of insanity, right? But work smarter by working harder and but do it smartly, okay? That's all this game comes down to. Or else, well, get your applications ready, because I hear Starbucks and Uber are about to have an influx of part-timers.
I'm going to be 100% here. If I had to build the same business I have today on eBay versus Amazon, dude, I don't think I got it in me. If you tell me right now, Johnny, that you need to go list over 4,000 books, CDs, DVDs at eBay prices and have an inventory system and do all the stuff eBay requires you to do as a seller, I straight up, I ain't got it in me. I'd be back in the workforce, or I'd figure out another side hustle, because that ain't the life for me. And those people that enjoy that, I see it all the time, right? There are, there's some shining stars out there in the YouTube world that, when it comes to eBay reselling, and those people survive because they enjoy it. They like having all the moving parts, the inventory system. They're A-okay with making a little bit of money all of the time instead of trying to hang on to this stuff forever and trying to get the most money out of it. When you said margins are going down, I
Yeah.
agree. And we talked about it yesterday on the
$5
call.
ain't what it used to be.
Yeah.
And when Amazon, okay, 10% cut year after year, cumulative, at what point can you no longer sell $5 items? Same with the stamp. People that are offering free shipping, how long can you sell that item before your shipping price is more than the actual item? What happens to those items then? They go in the trash cans. What happens to those items?
Yeah, this idea that, well, I just want to, even if I sell something at a loss, or like it boosts my eBay store, like I get a feedback, right? Like I ordered, Deb was trying to complete a set of cards that she wanted, and like it gets delivered the same day, and I got people like bugging me through eBay messages. Can you leave me feedback? Can you leave me feedback? I'm like, I bought a $1.50 card from you. Like the feedback is not going to change your life here, but this is the reality. We think these things that are important, they're not. I hate to break it to you. The feedback on the $1.50 card ain't all of a sudden going to change your reselling business. And that's my biggest gripe with eBay being a shopper. It's a pain in the ass. I hate dealing with sellers. Selling's really not that bad for me because I don't sell in quantity. But like, if you did, you have to set out time for customer service, right? You know this. When you
Yeah.
were knee deep in eBay, you got to have literally time blocks for customer service. I do think part-timers will succeed, those that take it seriously. I think full-timers are going to reap the benefits as long as, preface this, have to be selling stuff that people want on a platform where people are shopping. They go hand in hand. The my media business is a tenth of what it is if I took everything from Amazon and put it on to eBay. Like my Amazon business would nowhere, it would not translate to eBay in the slightest way, shape, or form. So you not only do you have to go to the platform that makes sense for the category you sell in, you also have to find items that people want. You have to sell things that somebody is going to buy. Nobody cares about your Susan Boyle CDs, your stupid lots you waste way too much time making. Oh, I'm going to just do lots for duds on eBay. And then when it's all said and done, you spent 2 hours and you made $10 and you think you actually made $10. Like you got to be out of your mind. And these are things that I've tried. We talked about it. What are things that we have tried that have failed? I've tried lots. I've tried disc only. I've tried multiple things out there that, sure, maybe if I gave it more time, maybe 6 months, maybe a year, I could get results. But in the immediate, I'm not lotting nothing up, dude. I don't care if I got 100 Agatha Christie trade paperbacks sitting behind me in one box. I am not lotting that up. It is going to the dumpster before I lot it up on eBay. But
Can I have them?
we can't get over the idea of, well, it's gone. We already made our money, right? Like, think about this. We do a bulk buy, we scan it, we make our money on the premium stuff, the cream of the crop. Why are we chasing pennies to try to wring out every little penny we can from this stuff? When if I told you, if you just went and bought another lot and left the junk behind, whoa, all of a sudden you got more premium stuff. Junk goes away. You buy another one. It's out there for everybody. We sell media, the most saturated thing. You would agree that there's an endless supply of it out there. This is
Yeah.
one thing we talk about all the time in the group is there's an endless supply of everything we sell. If you open your eyes and look past your front door, you could find media for next to nothing. So why do we waste time listing a $5 book on eBay, a $6 book on a $10 book on eBay? Why do people waste time listing a $10 book on eBay, Johnny?
Because okay, here's a perfect scenario. Because I talked about it with Jack numerous times in his video games. They bought a pile of books. They have a book in my hand. Well, I bought it, so I must sell it. That's the mentality that goes into it. It's like, okay, I must sell it. I can't list this as a single item, so let me try lotting it. That went okay, but if I were to not waste, well, invest time, we'll say that instead of waste. I've invested time in making this lot. I've sold it, but were my dollars per hour, does it make more sense for me to even create that lot in the first place, or just go find more profitable items to send in? If you did not guess the latter, you're fucking wrong.
I'm my goal is to have a podcast episode where you don't bring up dollars per hour. But I do think it is valid.
Okay, half dollars per hour. How about that? Half dollars per hour.
If there's good stuff out there to be had, then why do we waste time? Nothing is free in this, right? You go free curb alert, Johnny, right? My freebie alert app pops up. Free boxes of books on the curb. Well, it's free, Johnny. Well, did you factor in you got to go and drive there and there's gas, right? Do you factor in you actually got to take time to list the items? Nothing is free in reselling unless you're
Right.
like, I mean, right there, yeah, nothing's free in life, honestly. So get this idea out of your head that everything you get, you have to sell and you got to
That's
squeeze.
the whole holdup, I think, with everybody. I have it now. It is mine. I want to sell it for money. Stop it. No, leave it alone. Make it go away.
No.
Somehow, some way, make it go away.
No, I have standards. Now, sure, if you're a huge operation, right? If we just translate this to like a warehouse where you have multiple employees, sure, you can wring out the dollars and the quarters out of your stuff. But me as one person, right? I'm not gonna waste time to list an item. I'm gonna make $2 on Amazon, $3 on Amazon. Sure, somebody else's business model out there. Oh, get excited about the $2 item. But for me and my business, that is junk and it's getting out of here, right? It's gone.
I mean, you just hit the nail on the head. Unless you're a huge volume seller, those $2 to $3, you can make a beautiful business off $2 profit items if you list hundreds and thousands of them. Because last I checked, 2 times 100,000 is $200,000. Great. But that does not really translate to the smaller time seller who has limited hours. Your hours need to be valuable. See, I said it without saying it. Your hours need to be valuable. And how you assess that value usually is in the form of money. See, I didn't say it. I said it differently.
Yeah, it's true. And especially when there's always better stuff out there to be found, right? Like, it's not like these are the last, like this bulk buy is the last bulk buy I'm ever going to do today. So like, why am I trying to hang on to the 2000 CDs I'm going to get today when I know there's another 2000 CDs where there's 400 quality CDs I can get out of there, get rid of the junk, turn and burn.
I'm going to bring it up. The person that watches the YouTube video and they buy that Gaylord because they heard they should buy that Gaylord. They process the Gaylord. They have their little small table, maybe a TV tray size table of books they can send to Amazon. And then they have the whole rest of the Gaylord over here. And they think, what do I do with it? And that's where they forever, well, I'm not going to say forever, for a period of time, they try to monetize the gigantic leftover Gaylord pool.
Yeah.
They do.
Hey, you're right. Like, I can see it now. You got your James Patterson pile of books, your Nora Roberts pile of books, and then you got some sci-fi books you're going to try lotting up, some romance novels you're going to try lotting up. When if I just told you just to wheel it out to the yard and burn it and go buy another Gaylord, you'd be better off. Like, people can't swallow that pill. And I get it. Like, I kind of used to be the same way, but I also used to do flea markets. So, like, me and Deb would drive around the rich neighborhoods, scoop up, you know, trash, right? You know, trash. But I did flea markets. So you basically could sell anything for anything in a flea market. So I would just grab the stuff that looks half decent.
Flea markets are still the quote-unquote eBay of today. You can sell anything there. It'll sell. Exactly. At the right price, it'll sell. It's the current eBay analog form of eBay.
Yes, but selling online is not like that at all anymore. No. You need desirable items at desirable prices, and you need to get stuff sent out quickly. It's just a completely different game, and you know, I do think reselling will see a... All right, I guess when I say is reselling dying, I think the number of resellers is dying. I still think the business and profitability is going to continue to rise for people that take it seriously and continually like upgrade their business sense, their business models, how they operate. I think the profitability will continue to increase for those that are serious about reselling. But I do think the overall number of resellers is going to take a huge downswing just because it's easier than ever to find a reason to quit, right? Like, how many did we just bring up, right? My stuff's not selling. The algorithm hates me. I can't get the buy box. It's so easy to quit today and justify it in your mind with some lame excuse. But I do think, you know, I still think there's tons of money to be made, even though reselling's on the decline.
We have an interesting coach in text group. He's totally different than everybody else. He sells only on Facebook Marketplace. And he makes over $100,000 a year doing that because he did it in a very smart way. He has systems in place. Everything in text group, all those methodologies, instead of on eBay, he just applied them to Facebook. And he's making a lot of money doing that. So those people that take away from the end is nigh off our little podcast here, it doesn't have to be. You figure out a way to do it smarter. He does it part-time too. But if you want to start building your flea market empire, your Facebook market empire, your antique mall empire, no better day than today to start that, honestly. I mean, we're forecasting for you. That's the whole point of us here, because we see the trend of fees going up, stamps going up, or mailing label going up, cost of goods going up. But if you're already getting super thin margins, maybe it's time for your pivot. We mentioned pivoting a lot in our podcast. Why wait? Pivot today. Start today.
Yeah, you're right. I'm going to wrap it up here. My last final thought is, me, like you out there, that is the part-time reseller, we should be much more efficient than this guy, Johnny, sitting next to us here today. Mm-hmm. He has, I mean, I have the time too. I have other things going on, right? And I talked about it yesterday openly, like, you know, how much can I scale this to? Like, I have nothing to hide when it comes to my business. Can I put in more time? Sure. Do I want to put more time? Depending on what it is, am I going to get my bang for my buck? Part-timers, you have to be work smarter and essentially harder in a smaller time frame than people like Johnny and the huge players out there in the game. There is no reason part-timers should be selling items or listing items that have crappy sell-through. It just does not make sense. Low-dollar items, you are part-time. Why are we wasting the little bit of time we have on these low-dollar tasks, these low-dollar items? I don't care if it's free. You get more time back from throwing it out, going to find better items. I know, and the majority of part-timers are the ones that are going to go away. I'm here to tell you, me as a part-timer, I don't plan on going away. I'm going to continue to scale my business, and if it means putting in more hours, so be it. The opportunity is there, but unfortunately for the majority of part-timers, I think, you know, and a lot of full-timers too that are just stuck in their old ways, your days are numbered. You're committed to a business model or a platform with a business model that goes hand in hand. Like, you're just, it's sooner or later, the bubble's going to burst on you, and there ain't nothing, no one else to blame but yourself. You got to actually, you know, be willing to change and see what the future is and know when things are going bad for others. Doesn't mean it's bad for everybody. I mean, we have endless people on here with successful eBay businesses, but if you went in YouTube and searched, is eBay reselling worth it? 90% of videos on the first page will say, eBay's dying, you're not going to make no money. Well, how is it that we come across all of these unicorns that magically do six figures on eBay every single year? I still, and that kind of justifies me. I talked about it earlier, like how I justify Johnny by putting out secret sauce so he can blow up anybody's excuse.
Yeah.
When I have people on that are successful on eBay, that's like me blowing up any eBay per video content creator that says, hey, reselling's dead on eBay. I'm like, no, it's not. You want this person's name? Like, here, go message them and tell them that
you
it's
have
dead.
A whole list of previous guests that are primarily eBay sellers.
Primarily eBay sellers crushing it. So this idea that eBay sucks and you can't make money? No. They sell desirable items. They operate their business like a real business, not just this hanky-panky because reselling's cool. Get out of here with that nonsense. All right, we're going to wrap it up here. We'll talk to you all.
Bonus little segment here. If you like what you heard here today, please like and subscribe on YouTube or whatever you do on the podcast platform of your choice to make us more well-known, because we have lots of things to say we want to tell everybody. Okay, now, Mike, you can do your outro.
I think maybe I have to start paying you to do like a mid-podcast read, or like I'll write up some really cheesy ad and you can do it in like that cheesy ad voice. You do got like a good ad voice, though. Like, I can see you doing like radio or something. All right, we're off the rails. We'll talk to you all next week's episode.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Reseller's Mindset Podcast. Today's full episode and all previous episodes are available to all YouTube members, along with the weekly Zoom call and private Discord. Head on over to youtube.com/theusedbookguy and consider joining for as little as $2.99 a month.